Welcome to today's deep dive. We are so incredibly glad you are here with us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Today, we are opening up a stack of sources that, quite frankly, read like a science fiction thriller.
Except every single word of it is real.
Exactly. We're looking at comprehensive reports, technical breakdowns, industry analyses from February and March of 2026.
Collectively, these documents are being called Clog and the New Era of AI Cybersecurity.
And let me tell you, the contents are absolutely mind-bending.
Yeah.
Our mission for this deep dive is straightforward, but the implications, I mean, they're massive.
Truly massive.
We are going to understand how, in the span of just 2 weeks, an artificial intelligence didn't just assist human programmers, but essentially became the world's most efficient, undisputed hacker.
Right.
And more importantly, we are going to explore exactly what that means for the digital safety of your everyday life.
Because it really does affect everyone listening.
It does. Okay, let's unpack this. To really grasp the magnitude of what happened, we need to go back to a very specific date. March 11th, 2026. Set the historical stage for us. What exactly happened on that day that sent shockwaves through the entire tech industry?
So that was the day the results of a highly unusual, completely unprecedented partnership went public.
Unprecedented is the right word.
Yeah, Anthropic, the creators of the AI model Claude, and Mozilla, the company behind the Firefox web browser, they announced the results of an experiment they had been running behind closed doors.
And they did something that companies just don't do.
They did something that major software companies historically treat as an absolute taboo. They had taken Anthropic's latest model at the time, Claude Opus 4.6, and they gave it completely unfettered, comprehensive access to the entirety of the Firefox source code.
Which is wild.
They essentially opened the deepest, most secure vault in their company and said to the AI, "Go in there and find the security vulnerabilities that our human teams have missed."
And just to put that into perspective for you listening, tech companies usually guard their source code the way a nation guards its nuclear launch codes.
Right, it's their crown jewels.
Exactly. And Firefox isn't exactly some small, simple calculator app. It is a massive, incredibly complex piece of software.
Millions of lines of code.
Right. It's an ecosystem that has been built, modified, and updated over decades by some of the smartest human engineers on the planet. So, handing the keys over to Claude Opus 4.6 was a remarkably bold move.
Or a terrifying one, depending on who you ask.
True. But the numbers from this experiment are absolutely staggering. Walk us through what the AI actually found when they let it off the leash.
So the results shocked even the researchers at Anthropic who built the model. In just 2 weeks, Claude found a total of 100 different bugs buried deep within the Firefox code.
100 bugs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but the truly critical number from the sources is 22. Out of those 100 bugs, 22 were verified as actual, legitimate security vulnerabilities.
And these weren't just tiny glitches.
No, they weren't just minor hiccups or cosmetic errors. The AI classified 14 of them as high severity.
14?
14. That means there were serious security risks that required immediate drop everything and fix it attention. Six were classified as medium severity, and two were low severity weaknesses.
And all this was done in 14 days.
All discovered, categorized, and clearly reported in exactly 14 days.
That is just wild to me. Human security teams, these are highly trained, highly paid professionals who drink way too much coffee and do this for a living. They usually take well over a month to find fewer than 22 vulnerabilities in a code base of that size.
Oh, easily over a month.
A whole team of humans working for 30 days or more generally finds less than what this single AI model found in a fortnight. The speed advantage alone is just fundamentally game-changing.
What's fascinating here is the sheer economic and operational advantage this represents.
Yeah, let's talk about the cost.
When you think about a traditional human security team, you have to factor in biological human limitations. Humans experience fatigue. They need to sleep.
They want to go home on the weekends.
Exactly. They get something called screen blindness from staring at thousands of lines of glowing code for hours on end, which inevitably leads to human error.
It's unavoidable.
But Claude, on the other hand, worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without a single drop in focus or analytical sharpness. And when you look at the cost efficiency outlined in these reports running, Claude, for this complete top-to-bottom analysis, costs less than 10% of what it would cost to employ a traditional human security team for the several months it would take them to do the equivalent work.
Well, less than 10% of the cost.
It's incredible.
That right there changes the entire financial equation of cybersecurity. But looking through these sources, there is another detail that I think is the real miracle of this whole experiment. It's the zero false positives metric.
Yes, this is crucial.
Every single one of those 22 security vulnerabilities that Claude flagged was a real, verified threat. None of them were mistakes.
Which is unheard of with traditional automated tools.
Right. To understand why that is such a massive deal for the industry, think about a traditional security tool, like a hypersensitive smoke detector in your house.
Okay.
Imagine if your smoke detector went off every single time you tried to make a grilled cheese, or took a slightly too hot shower, or lit a birthday candle.
You'd go crazy.
Eventually, you would just get so annoyed that you'd take the batteries out, right? Which is terrible for fire safety, but great for enjoying your lunch in peace.
Yeah, that alert fatigue is exactly what human security teams deal with constantly.
Exactly. Traditional automated tools flag thousands of pieces of perfectly harmless code as dangerous, and humans have to waste weeks manually checking them. But Claude was like a perfectly calibrated smoke detector that only ever alerts you when the living room is actually engulfed in flames.
It completely eliminated the wasted time of chasing down false alarms.
It did.
That's a perfect way to look at it. Traditional tools just scan for rigid syntax errors, basically looking for spelling mistakes in the code, which generates that massive pile of false positives.
But Claude didn't do that.
No, it didn't just scan the syntax. It actually used natural language processing.
Right.
It read the code the very same way you or I would sit down and read a novel.
Wow.
It understood the context, the internal logic, and the overarching purpose of the software it was looking at.
I really want to dig into that because the idea of an AI reading code like a book instead of just doing a giant keyword search is fascinating. How did it actually accomplish this? Because looking at the reports, this wasn't just magic.
No, it's a very systematic approach.
The sources break down Claude's methodology into four distinct pillars. Let's walk through those because this is the secret sauce of how an AI outhacked the humans. The first pillar is static analysis, right? How is Claude's version of this different from the old way?
Right. So traditional static analysis just looks at the code while it's resting, without running the program searching for known bad syntax. But Claude took it significantly further by gaining a deep contextual understanding of the code patterns themselves.
Meaning what exactly?
It could review the architecture without executing the program and understand exactly how the disparate pieces were meant to fit together.
Okay, so it's like looking at the blueprints of a house and knowing immediately that the plumbing is routed directly over the main electrical panel, even before the house is actually built and the water is turned on.
That's exactly it.
You just look at the design and say, yeah, that's going to be a disaster. But that brings us to the second pillar, which is behavior modeling. And this makes sense because code isn't just a static blueprint. It actually does things. So behavior modeling is where Claude runs a mental simulation of what happens when that code goes live, right?
Exactly. So it looks at a piece of code and simulates in its mind what will happen when this program actually executes in the chaotic real world.
Out in the wild.
Right. By doing this, it can identify hidden vulnerabilities. For example, it might spot a simple loop in the code that looks totally harmless on paper, but under specific unusual conditions would cause a buffer overflow.
Wait, let's pause there. For those of you listening who aren't software engineers, let's translate buffer overflow. A buffer overflow is basically like trying to pour a gallon of water into a 12-ounce glass, right?
Pretty much.
The system panics, the water spills everywhere, and a hacker uses that momentary chaos to slip their own malicious code into the puddle. So Claude isn't just looking at the blueprint of the house, it's predicting what happens to that house when someone tries to shove a grand piano through the front door during a Category 5 hurricane.
That is exactly what it's doing. It's anticipating the stress fractures, which leads us into the third pillar, pattern recognition.
Okay.
Now, Claude has been trained on millions of lines of code and thousands of known historical exploits. It holds the vast, comprehensive memory of all the ways hackers have broken into systems in the past.
So it's seen it all before.
Yes. So when it looks at new code, it is constantly comparing it against this massive library of known exploits. It's essentially a detective with an encyclopedic knowledge of every fingerprint and lockpicking technique ever used, giving it incredibly high accuracy in detecting dangerous patterns that a human might easily overlook.
And looking at the sources, that brings us to the fourth pillar, which is cross-reference analysis. And I think this might be the most complex of all of them, because modern software isn't just one long document.
Not at all.
It is thousands of different files that all have to talk to each other perfectly. So a vulnerability might not exist in just one file. It might only appear when file A interacts with file B, which then triggers a weird reaction in file C.
The chain reaction.
Right. So Claude isn't just looking at a single room. It's looking at how turning on a light switch in the attic somehow accidentally unlocks the basement door. Tracking those chain reaction vulnerabilities is nearly impossible for a human to do in their head, but Claude did it effortlessly.
Effortlessly and systematically.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Claude didn't just point out these flaws in theory. The reports note that it proved two of these vulnerabilities were actually exploitable in practice.
It provided the proof of concept.
It essentially went to Mozilla and said, here is the broken lock, and here's exactly how a burglar could turn the handle and walk right in. Let's look at these two specific common vulnerabilities and exposures, or CVEs, that it found.
The first major one was CVE-2025-59536. In technical terms, that is categorized as command execution without user consent.
That sounds bad.
It's very bad. What Claude found was a deeply buried flaw in the section of Firefox that processes configuration files. It noticed that the browser wasn't properly validating the inputs from the user. Because of that lack of validation, an attacker could theoretically craft a malicious configuration file and hide it.
Let me translate those technical stakes into real-world stakes for you. Imagine you were just browsing the web, and you click on a completely normal-looking settings menu or download a simple preferences file. Because of this invisible flaw, you do absolutely nothing wrong, but a hacker on the other side of the world just gained the ability to remotely type commands into your computer's terminal.
Full access.
They could lock your hard drive, steal your banking passwords, or silently turn on your webcam, and you would never see a single warning screen. That is terrifying. What was the second major vulnerability?
That was CVE-2026-218852, which involved API credential theft. This was a severe flaw in how Firefox was storing and accessing authentication information. Claude figured out that by manipulating project configurations in a very specific way, an attacker could expose incredibly sensitive data, things like API keys.
And for those listening, think of an API key as a master password that software programs use to talk to each other securely behind the scenes.
Exactly. If an attacker gets those keys, they don't need to guess your personal password. They can gain direct, unauthorized access to an array of online services, completely bypassing normal login screens.
Both of those were classified as critical severity for very obvious reasons. But to Mozilla's immense credit, the sources make a point to highlight that they acted with blazing speed. Armed with Claude's precise analysis and the exact fix needed, they patched these critical issues in the Firefox 148 release, which rolled out to the public on February 24th, 2026.
Just days later.
The fact that the AI found the bugs and the human team deployed the fix so quickly is a massive testament to how this human-AI partnership can actually work for our benefit.
It's a huge win for defensive security.
But as amazing as the Firefox experiment is, we have to pivot to a wildly different experiment mentioned in these sources. This is where things get almost science fiction level, and we are getting into a time machine. Tell us about Mark Rusinovich and the Apple II.
Right, so Mark Rusinovich is the CTO of Microsoft Azure, making him one of the most important technical executives in the world today. But back in his youth, in 1986, he was a programmer writing code for the Apple II's 6502 processor.
Okay.
He decided to run his own personal experiment to see just how far this AI could go. He took that 40-year-old machine code and fed it directly into Claude Opus 4.6.
And we have to pause and appreciate this. 1986. We are talking about code written when people were wearing neon windbreakers and listening to cassette tapes. This code is practically older than I am.
It belongs in a museum.
Yeah. And machine code from 1986 is a completely different beast than modern web browser code. It's incredibly rudimentary, low-level stuff. It's the digital equivalent of ancient Latin.
It really is. But the result was incredible. Claude successfully decompiled this ancient machine language.
And decompiling, for our listeners, is basically like reverse engineering a fully baked cake back into raw flour and eggs just to figure out that the baker used expired milk.
That is a great analogy.
It is a notoriously difficult, messy process.
Uh-huh. Very messy. But Claude didn't just read the binary. It translated it, analyzed the logic, and found a significant flaw that had been hiding in that code since 1986.
40 years.
40 years. It discovered something called silent incorrect behavior. In this specific program, If a destination line wasn't found, say the code was instructed to jump to line 50, but line 50 had been accidentally deleted, the program wouldn't report an error or crash like modern software does.
So what did it do?
Instead, it would just silently set the memory pointer to the next available line, or even jump completely outside the program's intended boundaries. Back in 1986, maybe that just meant your pixelated game glitched for a second.
All right.
But in modern security terms, that kind of memory pointer manipulation is exactly the kind of structural flaw that hackers actively hunt for to inject malicious code and completely take over a system. Claude recognized that dangerous pattern, even in a 40-year-old digital artifact.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, why does a bug from 1986 matter to you today? If an AI can effortlessly unbake the cake and hack a 40-year-old Apple II program, what does that mean for the legacy systems currently running our world?
It's a huge red flag.
I want you to really think about the invisible legacy technology that surrounds you every single day. We tend to think of tech as just the sleek smartphone in our pocket or the modern browser on our laptop. But the reality is that the modern world is built on a massive, hidden foundation of ancient, unpatched, decades-old microcontrollers.
Everywhere you look.
They are sitting right now in factory production lines manufacturing your car. They are inside the hospital medical equipment running the MRI machines and vital monitors. They are in the traffic control systems determining when the lights turn green at a busy intersection. And they are embedded in the household appliances sitting in your kitchen.
That is the exact blaring warning screaming out from these sources.
What?
While the security of modern web browsers like Firefox or Chrome is considered a medium risk because it is actively being tested and addressed by tech giants, the risk to those industrial systems and critical infrastructure you just mentioned is explicitly categorized as critical.
Critical danger.
Yes. Imagine a highly motivated bad actor using an AI like Claude to analyze a major city's water treatment control system and finding a vulnerability that has been silently sitting there, unnoticed by human engineers for 25 years.
Yeah, completely plausible now.
These scenarios are not hypothetical anymore. The Apple II experiment proved that absolutely no legacy system is immune to this kind of AI analysis. All of this critical infrastructure urgently needs a massive AI security reassessment before someone else gets to it first.
And that brings us to the dark side of this entire deep dive, the double-edged sword of this incredible technology. Because if defenders like Mozilla and Microsoft have access to Claude to find and fix bugs, so do the bad guys. If you give this capability to an advanced state-sponsored hacking group, what happens to the landscape?
You enter the era of automated exploit generation.
Automated exploit generation.
That is the terrifying reality outlined in the reports. Right now, a sophisticated cyber attack usually requires a human hacker to spend weeks or months painstakingly probing a network, finding a vulnerability, and then carefully writing a custom software tool to exploit it.
It's manual labor.
It is. But if attackers have access to this kind of AI, they can automate the entire lifecycle. The AI can discover the unknown vulnerability, and because it understands the code so deeply, it can instantly generate the weaponized exploit tool needed to break in.
An attack lifecycle that used to take 6 months of human labor could theoretically be reduced to a few hours.
We are standing on the threshold of a totally automated, highly accelerated era of cyber warfare where machines are launching the attacks.
But the sources don't just leave us in despair, thankfully. There is a deeply optimistic countermovement to this threat. It's the ultimate defense strategy, automated patch generation.
The flip side of the coin.
So the AI won't just be a high-tech alarm system that points out the broken lock on the front door. It will act as the master carpenter that instantly builds a new unbreakable door and installs it before the burglar even reaches the porch.
Yes, the future of defense is incredibly proactive.
Mm-hmm.
We are rapidly moving toward a reality where an AI like Claude finds a vulnerability, instantly suggests the solution, and literally writes the code to fix it, all in a matter of seconds.
That's amazing.
And the sources detail two other major defensive advancements we can look forward to. The first is real-time monitoring. In this scenario, the AI acts as an invisible co-pilot. As a human programmer is typing new code, the AI is continuously scanning it over their shoulder, catching and fixing vulnerabilities before the software is ever even released to the public.
It stops the bugs at the source.
Exactly. The second is cross-platform analysis. As we saw with the Apple II, AI can effortlessly understand multiple architectures. Soon, defensive AI will be able to simultaneously scan everything connected to a company's network, from the newest employee mobile phone to a 50-year-old mainframe in the basement, identifying the weak links across the entire ecosystem at once.
And what's really heartening to me is the democratization of this technology. Obviously, the giants like Google, Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon are leading the charge. They have the billions of dollars in capital to pour into this AI security arms race. But because the actual operational cost of running these AI models is dropping so rapidly, remember, we talked about it costing less than 10% the cost of a human team.
Yes, the cost efficiency is key.
This elite Fortune 500 level security is going to be available to everyone. A small five-person local business will soon be able to afford the exact same AI defensive shield as a multinational bank. The playing field between the offense and the defense is rapidly being leveled.
This raises an important question, though. Who actually wins in this new environment? Because the dynamic has fundamentally shifted. It's no longer just human hackers versus human security guards. It's attackers using AI to aggressively find the cracks, and defenders using AI to instantly seal them.
So it's AI versus AI?
Exactly. The advantage goes entirely to whichever side can deploy their artificial intelligence faster, smarter, and with greater scale.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this all together. The primary takeaway from the Firefox experiment, the incredible speed and accuracy stats, and the unbaking of that Apple II code is that no code is safe from AI analysis. It truly doesn't matter if it was written yesterday by a senior developer at a massive tech company or if it was written 40 years ago in a dusty garage.
If there is a flaw, artificial intelligence will find it.
The winner of this new cybersecurity era isn't the one with the most human programmers sitting in a room. It's the one who integrates AI into their defenses the fastest and the most responsibly.
I strongly encourage you, as you go about your week, to look around and think critically about the digital infrastructure you interact with daily. The systems processing your credit cards at the grocery store, the complex networks managing your local hospital, the hidden software running your vehicle. We are in a vital transitional period where all of those legacy systems need to be audited and secured by the very technology that also threatens them. Understanding this massive shift is the first step to navigating the new landscape safely.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with a final, somewhat provocative thought to mull over. We've just spent this time exploring how AI can read our human programming languages like an open book. It can spot our flaws in seconds, and it can even step in to write the patches to fix our human mistakes.
Yeah.
If AI is already this much better at understanding and securing code than we are, how long until AI decides that human coding languages like Python or C++Y or JavaScript are just inherently too flawed, too slow, and too insecure to keep using?
That is a fascinating thought.
How long until the AI starts inventing entirely new, perfectly secure programming languages? Languages that machines can read flawlessly, but that human beings can't understand at all. It is definitely something to think about as we step into this brave new digital world. Thank you so much for taking this deep dive with us today. Keep learning, keep questioning, and we will catch you next time.